Introducing the future of driving with Ford electric vehicles now available at Jim K. Ford. Say goodbye to gas stations and hello to efficiency with electric power that delivers a smooth and silent ride. With advanced technology and smart features, you'll experience a whole new level of convenience and connectivity. And with Ford's commitment to sustainability, you'll also be doing your part for the planet. So come on down to Jim K. Ford today and test drive the future with Ford EVs or visit us online at jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln,
we say yes!
The Steve Warren Project. Sports and whatever.
All right, we are off and rolling, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Steve Warren. I am in Ottawa, Canada. Jim Jerome joining me from Edmo, Edmonton, Alberta. Lots to get to today. We're amping up for the NHL season in about 10 days' time. The training camps begin. But of course, the NFL, the National Football League, rolling along. And I was kind of detecting sort of a transition from out with the old and in with the new across the league yesterday on week one. But we'll get to all that and much more today. And say hello to our great friend, Jim Jerome. James, how are you today?
Well, Stevie, I'm good, my friend. How about you?
I'm very good. Thank you.
Yeah, good, good. I've moved locations of the studio, Steve, that I broadcast from.
It's just your house.
Well, no, I moved. It was 6 feet closer to the kitchen.
Oh, well.
Yeah. So I grabbed the table. Uh-huh. I did it all by myself, Steve. I was going to bring in movers.
Sure, sure.
And I just slid the table.
Yeah.
Yeah. Across myself.
Why this big dramatic change in your life?
Well, I wanted a little more, a nicer background for you. See, I've got that photograph, Stevie, was the biggest sucker move in my life.
Yeah, okay. It looks like a canoe on its side.
Yeah, with birch trees. So a friend of mine phoned me years ago and said, look, there's a friend of mine. They said, Hartman is the guy's last name, who's a photographer.
Yeah.
And he takes these cool pictures of Northern Ontario, where I'm from. Of course, Sudbury's referred to as the North.
Mm-hmm.
And it's of rocks. And like, if you've never been to Sudbury, If you do go there, you'll realize, okay, the effort to make highways and build houses, because it's all rock. Okay.
Yes.
So you'll be driving along, you know, if you head north from Toronto and then you zip, you go up the 400 and then you cut off just after Barrie and you start to head north, right? And you'll see these straight up and down rock cuts.
Yes.
with column, little wee columns on where they drilled this rock. Some of it's like, you know, 100 feet they went down, blasted rock. And if you live in Sudbury, you'll often hear sirens. So to build a house there, you've got to blast the rock out to make a foundation.
Yep.
So they have these big tires that they sew together, and they, you know, this huge mat of tires that they place over the rock after they drill down and drop the dynamite in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hear this, you know, in any event, so a friend of mine said, yeah, this guy's, he's taken pictures over the years of these highways and how cool it looks. And you should go look at, he had an exhibition in Edmonton. So I went there, Steve, years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I bought that photograph right there. Okay. For $2,500.
What? You didn't pay $2,500 for that.
Well, there goes the end of my story. You hit the punchline. There it is, right? So anyway, the thing was sitting around in my old place above the fireplace. And so I thought, well, I thought that'd be nice because I like the North. But, you know, it's just a rotten boat on its side.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, how do we necessarily know that's from Sudbury, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there are other places in the world with rotten boats and trees.
True.
Know? Like, there's, I thought you took pictures of rocks and stuff, right? Photographs. So anyway, I thought, okay, I don't like this thing anymore.
Okay.
So I brought it to an art gallery, a friend of mine who owns a gallery, and I left it with him, said, you throw that thing up for sale.
Okay.
All right. And I'll, you know, make it $3,000. I bought the thing a long time ago, and art increases in value, Steve.
Sure, sure.
Or it doesn't. Okay. phoned me the other day, Jim, you still have that print? Because I you can see now I've taken it back.
Yeah.
Yeah, he says, I got someone here with a cash offer, Steve, for $375.
Ooh. Cash on the barrel head.
I said, what? Jerome got smoked. Yeah.
Man.
Jerome got smoked. It's the second time I got smoked this year, Stevie, did I talk about the Nexus Pass? Do you know what you don't travel that much, so maybe you're not familiar with them, but Nexus is a Borders company that you can buy a Nexus Pass, Steve.
And you get perks.
You don't have to go through security. You get to go through a separate line, and that's the big one. Okay. And I travel enough that this thing is, I need one of these because, you know, to go anywhere from here, you got to go through Toronto, and Toronto's a fucking nightmare, you know, a nightmare. You'll pull around the corner after checking in or dropping your bag off. It's like, oh, here we go. 3,000 people in the lineup, you know? So, anyway, when the Nexus thing first came out, it was like a couple hundred bucks, you know, you buy it, you got to do a criminal record report, and then you get interviewed for about 10 or 15 minutes and they give you this Nexus thing. And for going through customs, you get to cut the line. Mm-hmm. So I never did it. And then the other day I'm scrolling through Facebook or something. It's like, get your Nexus Pass. You know, I'm like, oh fuck, I'm going to do that. So phoned him, right? Whatever. The guy phones me back. Yep. There's three things we can do. You can get it in 6 months. You can get it in a year, or you get it in 18 months, which I understood anyway, that, you know, they don't just whip them out the next day. Right. They got to make sure so no problem. Yada, yada, yada. It's $1,200 if you want to get it in 6 months. It's $800 if you want to get it in a year, or $650 if you want to get it in 18 months. I said, okay, I'll do that. You know, thank you, Nexus. You know,
Which one did you pick?
I picked the 18 months. I'll be all right. Right. It's a big savings, Steve. Saves you 6 months.
Of course. Yeah.
Right. So then, Stevie, I'm not a bright guy. I'm not very smart, Stevie.
This okay? just in.
Yeah. So every offer on Facebook, Steve, has kept up consistently 100% of the time that it's some sort of scam.
Yeah.
Everything, no matter what you're buying. Okay. So anyway, I'm talking to a guy. Yeah, my Nexus Pass, you know, I got it too, right? The dude says, I can't believe they've jacked that price to $300 now.
I said, what?
Yeah. So what I was doing, Steve, not realizing it, is that it was a third party.
Oh, no.
That says, we'll get that Nexus Pass for you.
Right, right.
Of course, I never checked, Steve. I didn't. Mm. So they got me for $350. Okay.
Oh, dear.
I mean, it's legit, okay, but...
There's nothing illegal about it. They can sell it for whatever they want. I was looking at the camera that I currently own, and I was thinking, okay, if I sold that, what would it be worth? And I saw it worth like three times the amount. And it's like, no, that's a third party seller who's trying to scam somebody.
Yeah.
They'll never
get me on any of that, Steve. Okay.
No.
I know my art, and I know my Nexus Pass scams. Okay. Yes. They'll never get me.
Okay, I can't believe you haven't fallen for one of those email scams from the king of Nigeria who's looking for someone random to leave his fortune to.
That's not a real deal.
Oh no. It's just a terrible day for you right now.
Yeah. It's awful. Yeah. Abdul's not a cousin of mine. What?
No.
Give me back my money.
He had my email address. It must be legit.
Yeah, no problem. I'll send you my PayPal.
All right.
Anyway, no, I never.
I hate to see you seniors getting swindled like this.
I've become the guy I'm telling everyone to be worried about.
All right, we should jump in. Did you watch any of the NFL on the weekend? It all got underway on Thursday with an incredible result. I mean, Detroit's a better team. But they are the Lions at the end of the day. They only had 9 wins last year. They're expected to be good again this year. But I don't think anybody had them rolling on Thursday night, opening night, national TV, going right into Kansas City and taking down the Super Bowl champions. And then, of course, a lot of interesting news from the games on Sunday. The Monday night is going to be good with Aaron Rodgers' debut as a New York Jet. So, right. Yeah, we hit the ground running here with the National Football League. Have you taken any of it in yet?
I did. You know, I've got to admit, Steve, you know, I'm watching the Jays these days, by the way, right? They're a couple ahead in the wild card race. It's good. I've always been a Jays fan. You know, the NBA. So I love opening day for baseball. I like.
Can Vladimir Guerrero knock it off with the water bottle, though?
Everything else. And everything else he does. Okay, yeah. When he gets.
Let's
a base
maybe
hit.
Take this serious now. We're heading to mid-September. The playoff chase is on. Maybe ease up on the silliness. Maybe sometime around, I don't know, June, you kind of put the silliness away. Anyway, that's a sideline. Carry on.
Yeah. So I love opening days, Steve. Okay. So here's how I rank them, right? Is I could give a shit about the opening day on basketball. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't mind opening day in baseball. That's always fun. It's, you know, because it's the start of the summer. So I like that. Hockey. I always like everyone's freaking out about opening night in hockey. But I have to admit, I'm like, okay, but there's, you know, there's 82 of these coming up, 84 of these coming up. I've got to admit, Steve, the biggest opening day in sports has got to be the NFL. Like, I don't know. I'm not a huge NFL fan, but I found myself hitting the record button on it before I was busy. I was doing some shit yesterday and then racing home to watch, Thursday, right? The Kansas City game, right?
Yep.
And so I'm going, if they're getting me on opening night, Steve, okay, they're getting me. I can't imagine the viewing audience of the Kansas City game.
So let me ask you this, because when we were kids, like the CFL was huge.
Right.
Right. And the NFL was, I mean, it was on par. It was in the ballpark, but it was certainly, they were very close in terms of the appetites of the Ottawa sports fan.
Right.
And now like the NFL is unquestionably the number one league, probably in the world now. How have they done it? What have they done that has put them on this pedestal with sports fans, and they're untouchable right now, and it just keeps getting more and more popular? Is it gambling? Is it the way they sell it? I don't get it either.
They market it well, you know, like
sure,
you know, that was the sport that, you know, on Monday Night Football, Steve. Okay, we go far enough back that there was no Thursday, there was no Sunday night. And there was just Monday Night Football. And then they came out with, God, they spent about $2 million here producing a song or $20 million producing a song for Monday Night Football. You know, it's like, Jesus Christ, this is good. You know, stadiums, you know, were are gargantuan stadiums. You know, Dallas was the last one I remember that was built, but there's been other ones, you know, that are crazy. But I don't know, Stevie, they got me. They got me. I even found myself going, oh my God, dudes, this is the opening night for the NFL. I got to get home, man. Yep. I got to go watch this. I don't know what the answer is. I'm not sure. But
I look at it and I say the game action itself, it's so, I mean, it's great and everything, but it just stops and starts so much. And the TV advertising, I don't know, it seems more intrusive than maybe any other sport where, okay, there's the touchdown. Let's take a break. Now the extra point. Now let's take another break. And the kickoff coming up. Now we've had the kickoff, a change of possession. Let's have another break. There's so much advertising in there. And yet everybody powers through all that. And it's just, I don't know. Gambling could be part of it. Fantasy football is probably part of it. So
I know what the answer is. I know why. Well, they're the only sport of the four majors, Steve, that have, you know, 80% less commitment in terms of games. So you want to watch baseball, it's 160,000 games. Hockey and basketball are 80 games, right? NFL's 18, 16 regular season.
It's they moved this from 16 to 17, I want to say a couple of years ago now.
Yeah. So it's not, I'm surprised, Steve, they don't look at it and go, look at, I got an idea. Let's go to 20 games. Let's go to 24 games, you know?
More games, more teams, more everything.
Yeah, but the commitment is you know, very limited, Steve.
You know? Well, yeah, for your own team, but you're going pretty hard. You just mentioned it Thursday night, Sunday night, Sunday afternoon, Monday, and they have Saturday night games, I think the last 3 weeks of the regular season, two or three after the college season ends. So if you're a fan of the entire league, it's still as much of a commitment as any other in terms of watching games on TV. But you're right. I think
no, if you're watching Blue Jays, Steve, okay, you're watching Blue Jays, you need 160 nights, or yeah. they take a day off about every once a week or something.
Yeah.
So yeah. And basketball. No,
that's probably a big factor. I think you're probably, I mean, because everybody's been overwhelmed with sports on television. They get it 24/7 sports talk and all that. And you only have X amount of hours in the day. The NFL is pretty manageable. If you want to follow your team, it's 18 games in the CFL, 17 in the NFL. Right. So that probably plays into it a little bit, because it is quite exhausting, especially if you're a baseball fan, which is why in baseball with 162 games, I really dislike that they keep letting more and more teams into the playoffs,
right,
which waters down the importance of this 162 games.
Oh, you do, eh? Good point. Yeah, right. Interesting. Yeah, I'll tell you what, Stevie, what I am getting a kick out of Detroit, of course, that was probably you probably got about, 400-1 mm-hmm. that Detroit would win in Kansas City.
Maybe not that high, but yeah, not it was a big high, upset. Big upset.
Big upset. I just get the feeling, Steve, the coach for Detroit, I don't know why he's like, I know I don't belong here, this is just a great party for me. So anyway, fuck, did we win tonight? All right.
This is Dan Campbell you're talking about.
Yeah. I don't know. The guy's kind of going to be someone to watch, during the NFL.
Well, he's like a player. He looks like a player. He was a player, but while he's coaching, he's somehow the same way Deion Sanders is in the NCAA ranks with Colorado. You're thinking the way he communicates is exactly like a player. It's not some beat up ancient coach who's so far removed. Like, these types of coaches are talking the talk. They are relating to their players, and the players are responding in both cases.
Yeah. Deion Sanders, Stevie, I think his kid actually he coaches his kid's team, right? Colorado.
Yeah. He's the star quarterback.
Jimmy, did you just get that right about college football?
Game over. That's the
time. You name the coach, the team, and the story. Okay.
Yeah.
However, Deion, okay, you can stop with the Shakespearean quotes all the time. Okay.
You're already tired after week two?
What week two of this guy, saying, like, having these press conferences and then going, let me say something here for a second about football and about life. Okay. And what drives us, Steve? What encourages us, Steve?
When you use that voice, you're very motivational. I'm just saying.
Yeah. To get up each morning.
Yeah.
And put our feet on the floor.
Right.
And walk out of that bedroom and have yourself a cup of coffee. That's what it's all about.
Yes.
No, Deion. No. No, it's not. That makes no sense. Yeah.
I wanted to sneak some NFL Films music under your voice there while you were going. On the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field.
Yeah. I see that. Speaking of that, I see he's got the title of the oldest guy now in the league. Your Green Bay Packer, ex quarterback
Aaron Rodgers. He's tonight off for the Jets. And running. Yeah. The Jets taking on the Buffalo Bills, and it'll be interesting to see if Aaron Rodgers is truly going to be the savior there. The Jets have tried to go with the former accomplished quarterback from another team, older guys, Boomer Esiason, Neil O'Donnell, Vinny Testaverde, Brett Favre, and didn't really pan out in any case, but Aaron Rodgers, and a lot of people I've talked to, I have not seen, what do they call it, Hard Knocks or whatever the documentaries they run. They've done it on the New York Jets this year, and mm-hmm. everybody I talked to that's seen that, they say they've just fallen in love with Aaron Rodgers. Like, maybe he's putting it on for the cameras. And we know guys who can do that. We can think of one hockey analyst just in particular who has a much better personality on the camera than he did in person. Anyway.
Yeah, sure.
But Aaron Rodgers was really good in this, and it remains to be seen if he'd be really good for the New York Jets, again, as they take on the Bills in the Monday nighter. We do know that his replacement in Green Bay, in Jordan Love, looked very, very good in his NFL debut, and it's probably, I guess, not a cautionary tale, but a good lesson to teams who are really struggling at quarterback. They draft somebody in the first round, and then they throw him to the wolves in his rookie season.
Right.
In the case of Green Bay, they did it. Favre was a guy who'd been around. He played in Atlanta briefly, and then they brought him along slowly. Certainly Aaron Rodgers, while Favre was still a star in Green Bay, he held a clipboard for 2 or 3 years anyway, and now Jordan Love did the same thing behind Aaron Rodgers. I think there's a message, a loud message, to all these teams starved for a quarterback. Let your rookies take their time in getting in there and learning and practicing and seeing what's what.
Yeah. The Aaron Rodgers story, Steve, is kind of like a rookie story. Okay. It's like their first game that they're going to start. Okay. Mm-hmm. This thing can, you know, there's so much talk about it. So much fucking talk about Aaron Rodgers. If they lose tonight, Steve, by, you know, 14 or more, that story is done. You know, that's, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like we got this big rookie, you know, we're going to give him a shot tonight and everyone tunes in. If the guy gets drilled, throws 2 or 3 interceptions and they lose, like, okay, though, that's over.
Yeah.
So, although they're playing Buffalo, but anyway, I'll be watching, Steve.
Yeah, no, lots of great drama there for sure. And I was saying off the top of the show in that it does feel like week 1 had lots of transitional type stories out with the old, in with the new and all that. You think of Rodgers leaving Green Bay and Jordan Love coming in. Tom Brady was honored before the first New England Patriots game of the year. And Robert Kraft, the owner of the team, he actually announced that he's going to waive the standard 4-year waiting period for team Hall of Famers and induct Tom Brady right away next season. And so you had Tom Brady out there hooping and hollering and pumping his fist with a Patriots jersey on. The crowd was chanting his name. So he calls it a career effectively, and he's out of the picture. And the other transitional, a couple of other ones, like Matt Ryan, for example, that's a guy that playing Tom Brady and the Patriots in the Super Bowl. You remember that game where basically Atlanta's up 28-3 at the half, and the Patriots come back to win that Super Bowl. And Matt Ryan was the quarterback of the Falcons that day. Yesterday, he's in his first NFL game as a broadcaster. He's really good. I liked him. So he's in the middle, and the halftime has come and gone. It's a 10-10 game that he's calling. And the play-by-play guy throws this at him. And I was like, is this some sort of like prank? Is this some sort of rookie hazing or something? I never see it in the broadcast booth, but he's a new CBS commentator, and the play-by-play guy's name is Andrew Catalan. I'm not sure how you pronounce it,
right?
But he teed him up for his thoughts on the first half of play, and he chose 28-3. This game doesn't feel like a 10-10 game. This feels more like a 28-3 halftime lead. And the look on Matt Ryan's face, just briefly, ever so briefly, looked like a bit of an eye roll, but looked like he wanted to absolutely strangle
him. I wasn't sure when you sent me that clip. And then I went and looked back and go,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And then the other one, in terms of transition, I think it's time for Terry Bradshaw to call it a career. My goodness. I don't know how much saw of Terry Bradshaw trying to call the highlights. Well, here, let me play it for you. This is Terry Bradshaw stumbling, fumbling, and bumbling, as Chris Berman used to say, through the NFL highlights yesterday.
Excellent day by the second-year quarterback, 2016 Washington, with new ownership over the Carolina of the Panthers. Anthony Richardson, 4th pick in the draft this year for the Colts at quarterback. Watches last year's guy, Anthony Richardson. But that's a handoff that ETN, as he takes it 26 yards. Oh, my God. Jaguars, dude, I know. I got it. I'm so proud of myself. Jaguars 31-21 over the Indianapolis Colts. Now, where did that highlight? Those highlights were all over the place. Where did that come from? Sorry about that.
Anyway, you're going to make it easy. So they got to get rid of Bradshaw, right? You're going to have a younger guy there. Nice run. The guy was there for a million years, but it's perfect for the network today. They wake up and go, oh, there we go. Yeah, we wanted to turf him, but now we got perfect reason.
Yeah, I don't know if they have that planned at all, but if it did, it would be somewhat reminiscent of Don Cherry. And I think about that "you people" comment that finally got him axed. Yep. I would submit, though there would be nobody who would admit to it, I would submit that Rodgers, in the face of a lot of layoffs themselves, I would submit that they didn't mind having that convenient excuse to let him go. Because in his prime, I would say that if he were in his prime today in 2023 and pulling in mega ratings, he probably gets away with the "you people" comment.
Yeah. I would, I'm not sure who Bradshaw reminded me of, Steve, when it came to breaking down games, about mixing it up. And I'll go back to our old boss, Al Davis, who listened to me on the second show, and I thought I should break down a baseball game.
Sure.
And he, well, you'll know here what he said to me, how well I did. Jim, we need the names of the two teams when you were breaking that game. We need the names of the two teams. We need the score. Okay. We need the final score. Let's start with those two, Jim, next time you try and break a game down.
Yeah. The red team over the blue team.
Not you see that game last night where it was, I forget what that result was, but boy, what a game.
Yeah. The guy with the hair. Oh my God. He's unbelievable.
Yeah. Did you see, Steve, in the NBA, I sent you this piece. You got to break it down for me, where they're talking about your superstars on a team. First, this is a league thing they're mandating or going to or trying to. So your stars are, I don't know, they made the All-Star game three times or something. That designates who is stars. That you're only going to be allowed to rest them for so long during a game.
Yeah, they're expected to vote sometime this week on a new policy that any NBA team is unable to rest two star players in the same game. And this gets back to the amazingly large number of games and the toll that it takes on a body, particularly, it's just all running all the time, jumping, running, cutting. The NBA is not easy to get through an entire season in one piece. And so to help out, they'll spell guys, they'll rest them. And yeah, so the NBA has decided to vote on this because the problem is people pay a lot of money, particularly TV networks. And they don't want two-star players to be just sitting out for a rest. I don't know if they should ever be sitting out for just a rest. I mean, if you're in a situation, I don't think you should ever rest star players in a league. And if you think you need to do that, then make your season shorter.
Well, I think it's ridiculous. First of all, the coaches and the manager of the team are going, what do you think, we'd like resting them? Of course we'd have them out there the whole game. Fuck, there are stars. That's the equivalent, Steve, of saying taking a starting pitcher, Gausman. Okay, you're one of your aces. Okay, with Toronto, go. Okay, he's our star pitcher. We're gonna get, and there's no doubt, Stevie. I bet people buy more tickets if that guy's pitching. Mm-hmm. Okay, whoever it is on your team, that's the equivalent of going. Okay, no more pulling him after 100 pitches. Okay, he's got to throw 150 pitches now. Because we need to sell tickets. The guy would get fucking drilled. So, yeah, and my point is, if you go, look at, I can't play LeBron fucking, whatever it is, 48 minutes a night, I can't. I think it's the dumbest rule I've ever heard.
Just talking resting in a game. We're talking they don't play in that game.
At all.
No, like 0 minutes. You sit on the bench the entire game. Like LeBron.
Oh, okay.
LeBron, right, okay. You get the night off. It's not just like we're only going to play you 30 minutes tonight. No, we're saying
you get
the entire night off.
So they're not going to. Okay. So they're allowing how much? What are they saying?
Teams are going overboard sometimes and resting two star players in the same game. And the NBA is going to vote on a policy that prevents that from happening. This is team driven. This is coach driven because there's all kinds of medical data supporting all this load management around the league. And, but that's the balance. It's all about, to me, if you feel like your players are being overly taxed due to the number of games they have to play, then reduce the length of your season. Of course, that's not going to happen because they want their cake and eat it too, right? They want their guys to stay healthy, but they don't want to give up revenue from the full slate of games that they're currently playing. They'd like to add more, in fact, if they could. But meanwhile, you have the TV networkers who are saying, hey, we are spending so much money, and the fans who are season ticket holders, they want to see everybody play in every game they go to. So there's a lot of debate, a lot of people frustrated by it, and so the NBA is going to tackle it this week.
So here's this. Here's what happened, Stevie. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm the coach of that team, and going, oh fuck, they got this rule here. Where I can't rest them. Okay. Just drop a little presser here, boys. LeBron James tweaked his knee.
Mm-hmm.
We're not sure if he'll be able to. We need to. He's got a medical issue, Steve.
Right.
So that ain't going to work, man. It ain't going to work.
Well, one of the struggles is, what is a star player? Because they don't really identify it.
They said he has to play, and there is a little, there is some rule there. I don't know if you have the stand down, Steve, for a second.
I got it. Someone who's made an all-star team or an all-NBA team in the past 3 years. And I guess that's what they're discussing, but I don't think they have an official designation as of now. This will be part of what they talk about this week.
Yeah, I never thought it was a big problem, but I never. Anyway, I don't watch enough basketball, I guess, to give a
exactly.
Shit.
Yeah, the people who love basketball and watch all the games, they're seeing out my. I didn't get to see my favorite player in that game. I think in the NHL, it has not yet become a huge problem. What has become a huge problem in the NHL, if you're going to draw any parallels, it's the concept of taking star players and maybe they're a little dinged up and could use some rest, and so you sit them for the last couple of months, saying, "Oh, he's got a back problem." And then they magically show up on opening night of the playoffs, fully rested and good to go. Because that allows, because once the playoff rolls around, there's no cap anymore.
Right.
So right. Now you've had the last couple of months to basically violate the cap and carry on. And then when the playoffs start, you can go way over the cap if you need to. And Vegas has done that, won a cup.
Right.
Tampa's done that, won a cup. So that's not quite the same as the NBA thing we're talking about, but it's in the same category, I think.
Yeah, I think it'll be a hard thing to police, is my point.
Right.
Yeah.
Agreed. We'll take a time out of the program. Novak Djokovic wins his 24th Grand Slam. Yeah, and CNN with a politically incorrect headline. Nothing bleak or anything like that, but one of those deals where you go, okay, you need to be thinking a bigger picture than this, and we'll talk about it after these words.
At Jim K. Ford, we know that your business is your livelihood. That's why we offer a wide range of Ford commercial vehicles and Ford Pro services to meet all of your professional needs. Whether you're looking for a tough, durable pickup truck or a spacious cargo van, we have the perfect vehicle for you. And with Ford Pro, we make it easy to customize your ride with options and business solutions that are tailored to your unique requirements. Take your business to the next level. Come on down to Jim K. Ford or visit us online at jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln,
we say yes. If you're looking to buy or sell your home, the Glenn Walton Real Estate Team can help. Glenn helped us sell a home a couple of years ago and did a ton for us, including staging. He provided a great painter, a cleaner, even bought new ceiling lights for us, all to make sure the home was looking its best on picture day. All part of Glenn's services, and he can do the same for you. Visit glennwalton.com. Now back to the show. All right, so Novak Djokovic wins his 24th Grand Slam title, one of the biggest achievements in sports history, according to his coach. I'm glad he threw in one of, because, well, on the ladies' side, someone's done that, right? So I think we should probably acknowledge that as well. But certainly, what a career for Novak Djokovic and the Joker. You know, he had his, you know, during the whole COVID thing, he had some vaccine issues and did not want to take the vaccine, took a lot of criticism for that. Now that we're well on the other side of that, although there's talk that COVID might make a comeback this fall. Anyways, now that he's on the other side of that, beloved by all again, and wins three out of the four Grand Slams this year and also equaled Margaret Court's record of 24 major singles titles.
God, I always thought Margaret Court's record would never fall. Stevie,
yes,
I watched it. It's on for 2 weeks. I will.
Is it?
Yeah, the Open is. Yeah, the U.S. Open is 2 weeks. Yeah. Shut up, Steve. Come on, man. I'm trying to. You know what, Stevie? It might be the hardest thing to win. You got to win seven rounds, Steve. They start with 128. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when you get there, you know, you start to tune in there. The Canadians got wiped out. I don't think anyone made it through the second round. When you look at them, Steve, down to the final eight, for example, right? I'm going, they're unbelievable tennis players. Okay. The cream rises to the top. Okay. I get mm-hmm. that. It does. This fucking guy, Steve. Okay. Djokovic, and Medvedev's no slouch. They were top four or five or whatever. When they come through those final rounds, you know, quarters, semis, it's like, you know, you're good. You're good. The guy is, it's hard to believe, but the guy is light years ahead of the every match this guy has. He hits it harder. He serves better. I recorded it and watched, you know, I whipped through it to watch it. But dude is like getting older, Steve. I don't like how can you be so much better than other guys at that, you know, at the peak level?
Yeah.
Like, no, he's fucking, he's a machine, Stevie. He's an absolute machine.
Yeah. And he doesn't look like guys in their late 30s usually look. You can see like there's a sluggishness now to their step.
Right.
They don't have the same reflexes. Djokovic is every bit as springy and fast with great reflexes as he seems to have ever been. And I don't think he's anywhere close to being done. You know, he's now number one. And, you know, you start looking at Federer. He's long in the rearview mirror now. Nadal's breaking down like crazy. He's probably not far from the end.
Right.
And this guy just keeps chugging along. I wouldn't be shocked if, just based on the physicality of the guy right now, I can't believe him that he won't win at least five more.
I know. It's fucking nuts, man.
Yeah. All right. Let's call it a day right there, ladies and gentlemen.
Hang on. I got stuff to do.
You do?
I did an event, Stevie. This past weekend on Saturday night, a couple hours out of town, town called White Court. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable town, Stevie. They have more events. Okay. So I don't know how many people live there. Not many. You could look it up. White Court. A small town. Anyway, they every year they have two or three events to raise money. This weekend was for the Rotary Club. They have six NHL alumni guys come in, which was Luke Gazdick, Craig McTavish, Steve McIntyre, who might be the biggest man I've seen in my life, Steve. Okay. He's 6'5". He played for the Oilers. Mike Krusenitsky came in. So did Louis DeBrusque.
Okay.
Anyway, we had a riot. Okay. So it's a hot stove, Stevie, where I ask questions and go through the crowd and stuff like that. I've been doing these a long time, Stevie. Okay. Mm-hmm. And there's some highlights, you know, like Marty McSorley is a great guy to get. Semenk was really good. Gary Lehman is fantastic on those things. Darcy Hordichuk, though, Stevie, was there. Okay.
Former tough guy.
Takes the cake, Stevie. Takes the cake.
Really?
In terms of sarcasm, hilarity, quick-witted, super funny. Yeah.
Is this your first experience with him?
Yes, it is. And so I rip them a little bit, Stevie. Okay. So I, you know, it's time we finish dinner. Hey folks. Okay. It's time. Let's welcome our six stars here again. And I'm going like, not really stars. Okay. I see these dinners, Stevie. I see these dinners have gotten away from the tradition of bringing in talent.
Oh,
okay. And, so I went to Hordichuk right away, grabs the mic. Right. And, he says, is that right, Jim? Right. I went, oh, perfect. Here we go. Yeah. He's like, my non-talent made me $7 million. What are you getting tonight? It was beautiful, right? Anyway, if there's a dinner around and he's going to be part of it, he was great. They were all good. But what he did say, Stevie, which I was thought of you right away, I got to tell Stevie. So one of the questions I asked is about Bedard, right? Because everyone's raging about Bedard, raving, I should say, about him, how good he's going to be, yada. We've heard it all before, Stevie, okay? He's going to a very shitty team. It was either Luke Gazdick or Louis DeBrusque, one of them. When I had asked this question, they said, okay, first of all, Chicago is a terrible team, okay? So would you play him and all that stuff, right? And they all say, yes, we play him. Craig McTavish was a great responder to that because he's coached and played and all that stuff.
What do you mean? Yeah. What do you mean when you say would you play him?
Well, I didn't know. Like, is he gonna start with the team? You know, sometimes they fuck these guys up, Steve, with all the hype and everything, and you know, but they're all like looking at me going, "That's the dumbest question ever, Jim." Because yes, he is He's starting.
Okay. He's going to start, and he's going to get probably minimum 65 points this year.
That's what Luke Gazdick said. He said, look, he's going to be the rookie of the year. Okay, yep. He's going to get 60 or 70 points. And I'm going, okay. Darcy Hordichuk grabs the mic and says, listen, I watched Gretz play and all these guys, and I'm telling you what, this kid has that. Now, a former hockey player, Steve, is the barometer, okay, when you hear – you know, as opposed to me or some other mucker going, I think it'll be the next Gretzky, right? You're going to go, shut the fire, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about, but he does. And he backed it up. He said, listen, I just spent 2 weeks at a camp in BC somewhere, and Bedard was there.
Right.
So I'm not sure what Hordichuk had to do with it. He might be doing some scouting or coaching or something. So he said, I watched this kid for 2 weeks. Okay. He's the best I've ever seen. He is hands down. He was playing with veterans. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins was there, a couple other Oilers, other guys from big teams before training camps opened. He said he lit it up, Stevie,
right,
with these guys. So he's a logical guy. You know, he said this kid, you know, everyone's going, he's special. He's beyond that. And he said, I think he's going to be the story right from game one, right through the year. So.
That's one of the things I like about him is that he does seem very much a kid with a good head on his shoulders. I think he's had a good upbringing. I think he's been kept very even keeled. I think that's going to serve him very well moving forward. He does not look like a guy at any point that I've seen yet that thinks he's all that, you know,
right.
People are capable of hiding it, but once in a while it will come out, and I've yet to see it. And I've seen lots and lots of interviews with him. He borders on being shy. In fact,
right.
But he's the real deal. He's got everything. He's whatever you need offensively. He's got it. I think if there's only any downside right now, it would be from a team perspective, but that will come with time, is the defensive part of the game. The NHL is filled with speed and strength, and he's going to be asked to play the defensive side of the game. And that's the only adjustment for him. His offense is already probably in the upper 10% in the league already skill wise. The thing about the guy is what you'll notice right away, Jim, is he uses like almost nearly a kid's stick. I think it's a 65, 67, maybe even a 70 flex, and it's extremely whippy compared to the average NHLer. But what that allows for, because I don't think he has a ton of upper body strength, he leans out that thing, and when you see him shoot, the way that stick bows, he gets all the technology out of the stick and gets unbelievable speed on his shots. And that catches goalies off guard. Nobody, might not be anybody in the league right now that makes as much use of stick technology as Connor Bedard does as he enters the league.
Yeah. They said, etch his name on the trophy. It's a foregone conclusion, you know.
Cool.
So anyway.
Yep. Real deal
I'll
for sure.
I'll be watching now. Yeah. Yep.
Now we'll take our leave, ladies and gentlemen. We have a website if you want to check that out, stevewproject.com. Jim has written several essays and continues to contribute to the website on a regular basis. No, none of that's true. None of that's true. He's going to have a nap.
Hey, listen. I sent you two stories about the Ottawa Senators.
Yes, you did indeed. Do you want to talk about them?
Well, I know you do.
Well, I've got lots of opportunities to do so, but and have done so. But you sent me the Alex DeBrincat thing in that... you know, it's kind of revisiting it. I think Post Media did a story on Alex DeBrincat, and that he didn't want to be here. I think the gist of it was that he didn't want to play second fiddle to Brady Tkachuk as a second line left winger. And I kind of mucked up that story with some sources that I had that steered me in the wrong direction. So I don't even want to dip in on this anything. But I think the biggest thing with Alex DeBrincat was right out of the gate, he knew that. You know, he had his own ideas as to where he wanted to be, and Detroit was near the top of that list, and he wanted to go to free agency as soon as he could. And so even though Chicago traded him to Ottawa, and by the way, I think the Blackhawks probably had a sense already that they knew what he wanted to do, and that was not re-sign and go to UFA. So they decided to trade him to Ottawa, and the rest is history.
Yeah. Stützle.
Yes. He's amazing.
If he doesn't want to be there, I don't want to make him have to be here.
Yeah. That was that conversation he had recently, I think, over the summer with Elliot Friedman and Jeff Marek.
Yeah.
And he was, I liked it. It showed leadership. I think they liked him and everything. It would have been great for him to stay, but this team, they just signed Jake Sanderson this past week. 21-year-old gets an 8-year contract worth $64 million, and they're taking care of the core. And these guys want to be together. They want to play in Ottawa. They want to win a cup together. And anybody who doesn't want to be here pulling on the rope, sayonara. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. I don't think he said it that way, of course, as me saying it to some degree. But Stützle, yeah, he only wants guys here who want to be here.
To make you, Steve, with that signing of Sanderson, did you say, hey, I like this owner. He's going to spend some cash.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, within limit, you know, but
yep.
you must have been happy. Yeah.
I will say that the late Eugene Melnyk, he can be criticized for many, many things, but he was true to his word because he said about 5-6 years ago that we're going to rebuild, we are going to spend to the cap and have unparalleled success. And that started well before his passing a couple of years ago. They re-signed Thomas Chabot. They re-signed Brady Tkachuk, each getting in the $8 million vicinity. The Josh Norris thing happened on his watch. Mm-hmm. I think that's it. But the point is, these big money contracts all started before Michael Andlauer had even thought about buying the Ottawa Senators. And so some credit has to be given to the late Eugene Melnyk for at least being good to his word that in this rebuild, he was at the end of it going to start spending big time money to the cap. And he did.
Good.
Yep. We'll call it quits.
Let's do that.
Yeah. I've tried to call it quits. Is third time the charm?
Steve.
Yes, sir.
It is the charm. Yeah.
We're Yay.
Good. We're good. Yeah.
We appreciate you being here, ladies and gentlemen.
I got to be honest, Stevie, right? When you were looking, talking about who just got traded away? Sorry.
Who just got traded away?
No, who got traded away?
DeBrincat?
From Ottawa. Yeah. So I pulled up this story going, Stützle on DeBrincat. If you don't want to be here, then good luck. I'm going, oh, I guess they haven't traded him yet.
No.
And I was gapping a little bit because I was reading the story, Steve, while you were talking about it. And then as you finished, I went, fuck, did they trade him? So I only read the one line, Steve. I said, I'm only going to read this one line because I still wasn't sure because I gapped when you were talking. So I said, Stützle said, if he doesn't want to be there, I don't want to make him have to be there.
Right.
And I said, I better not go deeper because I don't know if he's traded yet.
This just in, Alex DeBrincat has been traded to the Detroit Red Wings. A full breakdown coming up.
Let me get out of here. Let's get out of here. Okay.
SteveWProject.com is the website. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us. We still have our Patreon membership page rolling. And you know what? Let's do some shout outs right now before we go. Another false ending. We keep thinking we're at the end of the program and we keep blathering on. We appreciate you staying with us this long, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's thank the legends. We've got Jimmy Fatta, Bill Grease, Henry Backer. Love those guys. G Money's awesome. Marcus Vaughn, B. We got Kevin Waghorn, Mark D, Matthew from Blackburn Hamlet, Burnsy 79, and many, many more. Thank you all. And Martin Peddle and Randy Spence. Thank you to everybody who stayed with us all this time and helped support the show through a Patreon membership. You can find those membership options, stevewproject.com. To close out the show, finally, here's Jim.
So when I was driving home, Stevie, you know, you fight for content, Steve, right? You do this, you got to think of stories, you know, that you got to put up. You want to make it fresh, Stevie, you want to make it thought provoking.
Yep.
And, so the other day on the suspendables, Stevie, I have to play your role here. I got to give you credit, right? You're the one who hosts these things. We shoot the stories, but you intro them and pick them and stuff. So I do that with Russ. Okay. Which is a worse nightmare than you doing it with me.
Carry on. Okay.
So, you know, it's like, I'll do these things, right? And I'll go, these are good, Russell, like that. And then I'll tell Russ, he goes, no, none of that. I don't.
Right.
Okay. Well, Russ, could you maybe sent me that maybe an hour before the show instead of 15 seconds before the show.
Yeah.
Okay, that we're going to record. So anyway, Stevie, Rusty Boy went way offside.
Uh-oh. Okay?
A couple of shows ago, we left it in, Stevie, and it was, I don't even know if it had anything to do with sports, okay? And the listenership, Stevie, went up.
Okay.
Okay, which makes you feel really good as a host going, I didn't fucking bring any of that up.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And the other day, then I said, okay, well, maybe politically incorrect, Steve is on its way back. So Stevie, at the end of the show, the last show we did, I did the two Palominos joke.
Okay.
And Steve, we got more listeners. So
people want whatever's different at the end of the day. They want something.
I know. I was like, we used to do that. And then I was driving home, Stevie, and I was thinking about it, you know, well, God, what again is just start to tell a bunch of shit we used to do on Tigor, you know, that I fucking made up or did whatever. And then Stevie, there was a pause and I went, that's why I take Lakota. Stevie Boyle loved that.
I love it.
And not to be heard anymore. That's fine. Take Lakota.
All right, I'm done. You take Lakota, we'll take our leave. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us, and we'll talk to you next time.
Good night, everybody.
We'll see you.
Thanks for being with us on the SWP. Please subscribe today or support us on Patreon at stevewproject.com. Please subscribe today and share the show with your friends and followers. We're at stevewproject.com.